All right, everybody, welcome back. And today we're going to talk about health. But I always remember that famous quote is you either invest in it now or you end up paying doctors later and begging that you had it back. And today I have one of the most incredible, inspiring men who I happen to be able to call a dear friend. And he is the person I call. He is the leading edge of this in helping people really take control of their health to give them every ounce of possibility to live the most fulfilling, happy, and healthy life, to be able to enjoy every moment of this gift that we call life. And his name is Robert Floyd, and I love you, brother, and thank you for being on the show. And we dove into self-love and self-compassion and how they're essential for making positive changes in health, how the media, the convenience, and the world that we live in often promote unhealthy choices and individuals, and how we get to take responsibility for our own health, because no one's going to care about it as much as we do. And it's our requirement and our responsibility between us and ourselves. And for me, between me and God, to treat this body like a vessel and buy back every ounce of time and enjoy every moment to spend it with my son and the people I love. And we break down his five pillars of functional health, which include nutrition, movement, stress reduction, sleep, and relationships. And so I am so incredibly excited to share this episode with you. I'm so incredibly excited for you to listen to it. And I just wanted to take a minute and say, I love you and I appreciate you so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who listens to this show, who shares this with your friends, who send me DMs about it. It fills my bucket every day. And I am so here to be of support and be in life and do this life together with you. And I'm just honored. And so without further ado, let's get into the show. All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of the George's Unqualified and sitting in the seat in front of his guest. And that tends to be the theme of this season of shows that I'm recording. And I am honored, I am humbled, and quite frankly, selfishly already stoked and wouldn't have cared if we recorded the show or not, because this incredible guest and I have been talking for the last, 45 minutes before I hit record. And he happens to be a friend of mine, and he also happens to be a man that I love dearly for the stand that he takes in the world, the difference he makes in the world, and quite frankly, I mean this with all of heart, but the amount of acronyms and labels that follow his name make him a pattern interrupt, because at the core of everything, he cares about people, cares about their health, cares about their self-advocacy, and spends his entire life dedicated to helping people really feel their best, live their best, and understand that we are the secret to our health. And so I am absolutely honored. I am humbled to have my dear friend Robert Floyd on the show today. Robert, welcome to the show.
Awesome, brother. Thank you for having me, man. I'm humbled to be here. This is great.
You're funny. With friends like you, that's why my email signature, I make up acronyms after my name, just so I can be like, I want to fit in with all my friends.
Make up some shit.
Oh, dude.
I'm like to do that too.
Oh, dude, I used to do it all the time. I'd be like seven word labels. They're like, what's that mean? I'm like, the chief heart marketing officer in charge of fixing your business. And they're like, oh, yeah. And I'm like, why not? I'm like, I could go get a university degree online and print it out, but we'll make my own. And so I love it. And I want to give kudos, because we have a couple things that I'm really, really, really excited to talk about. But also, I want to say this again to everybody listening. Like, I spend a lot of time in the health space, myself included, and I have a lot of people in that world with a lot of acronyms and labels, and it is an absolute honor to watch you work and watch how you put patients and people at the forefront of everything you do and spend your life dedicated to giving all that away for free and helping so that it can really be a difference instead of just a checkbox. And so when I say that, I mean that, and I genuinely thank you for that.
Yeah, well, thank you. Entrepreneurship is a huge personal growth journey, which I had no clue how much it was going to like be great, suck, be great, ups and downs, the dips. And like the personal growth I've experienced through it is tremendous. And actually, like we were just talking before we started recording, is like, you've helped me realize I need to just give more value, give more value, give more value. Don't be transactional, go to transformational, like you just said. And again, you know, people ask me why I do what I do, because I want to make the world a better place by making people healthier. Like, yeah. You know, one of the things, a saying that just popped into my head a couple of years ago is like, healthy people make better communities, and better communities make a better world, right? Like if you're healthy, and I use this in my program, I talk to people, I say, you know what, you know, when Steve Jobs got pancreatic cancer, do you think he gave a shit about how much money he had? Absolutely not. He cared about one thing, and that was gaining his health back. And so when we are healthy, you know, we're better brothers, mothers, fathers, sisters, neighbors, employees, you know, church friends. I mean, when you're healthy, you're just a better person in general, and that makes a better community, and then that makes a better world. I know that sounds goofy, but you know, it is.
I'm gonna hit cancel for you and say F that noise, like fug that noise. God's put on my heart to really, really watch my tongue, and I feel like he gives me a liability pass because I also have a flavor, but like, not goofy at all, my friend. It's actually beautiful to be in the seat of your friend and someone who has a relationship with you. And like, that's not something you say, that's who you are. And like, I feel that. Like, I feel the fact that like, you heard me on one of our calls in the Alliance and I mentioned something, you're like, hey, by the way, you might want to try this, get peptides here, call this. Like, it's who you are. And so I'm all for a healthier and happier world, and it is not goofy. I feel like it's one of the biggest things that's been advocated in our lifetime in like the last 20 years that's kind of gone out the window, is kind of creating this dependency that we're all sick and tired and there's always another thing, and it's like this constant reactive thing to health instead of this proactive approach of like self-empowerment. And we'll save the conspiracy theory so my podcast doesn't get canceled either. You guys, we have those conversations behind the closed doors, but like, I would actually love to hear from you. Like that led in so beautifully to like even a question I had, which is like, when we think about that, like healthy people making healthy communities for a better world, like what are some of the biggest mistakes that you're seeing when it comes to people struggling with that right now? Like, because I feel like we live in a world right now where every commercial that you see on television is 3 minutes of people with smiles and a 3-minute disclaimer about how this medication will kill you, but here's what it's supposed to look like for you, right? Like, it's not like go eat food, go get sunshine, go eat blank. And so I would love to kind of hear like what you're seeing, because you live in the forefront of this, of people's health.
Oh, I see it every day when I'm in the hospital, and I literally like, brings me to tears. Like sometimes I'm actually in the patient's room crying because it's so fucking sad. Pardon the French. Yeah. I mean, first and foremost, no one's got your back. You have to do it yourself. You can't rely on, you can't rely on the government to take care of you, because the government is no longer in the business of taking care of us. They never were. They were in the business of protecting us. You know, they have a couple interstate contracts and the federal military. That's their job. And, you know, the FDA, the USDA, all these things are, they've, you know, not conspiracy theory, not a tinfoil hat, but they've been hijacked by big corporate. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that includes, you know, big PHARMA.
That's a good way. No, we'll just keep it that way. It's going to be spelling class with Robert and I today.
I just, cause I know, like, and I've been shadow banned and I've been kicked off Facebook and because of things I've posted. And couple of the biggest mistakes is thinking that people, one of the things I see is like people that they think they can get away with not treating themselves well. Not eating well, smoking cigarettes, drinking too much, and then, you know, one day turn it all around and it's all magic. It's not. It's like health is a continuum. Health is, it's a huge continuum. And the funny thing is, like, we've been lied to think that, you know, oh, cooking good, healthy, wholesome foods is too difficult. You don't have the time. You don't have this. You should buy this food. And, you know, the whole processed food, industry in America is one of the problems with what's going on here. And so I love the saying that, you know, you can't outrun your fork. I mean, yeah, you can, you know, people think that they can eat shitty processed food and then just go exercise. It doesn't work that way, man. I know a lot of people who, you know, thought they were healthy, but they were eating crap and they were exercising. In fact, I know a cardiologist here where I live, and many years ago, he just dropped dead running on a trail because he was exercising, but he probably, you know, ate terribly. You know, one thing that a lot of people don't know is, and this is something that like blew my mind, and I just actually put a Facebook, Instagram post on it, that in the 1980s, Big Tobacco, after they got this pantsuit off of them for literally and intentionally making their food, their products addictive and toxic, they bought the three largest food manufacturers in the United States, instantly becoming the largest food production companies in America. And they instituted their, hey, let's get everybody addicted to our product playbook. And that's kind of like the advent of the increased amount of ultra processed foods. And no one's got your back. Again, if you keep eating this stuff, you are going to pay the price. There's no free lunch either, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean,
I loved when you said you can't rely on the government, because I think there's a point that I want to make, because as an accidental byproduct, their job became the business of being in business, not the business of healthcare, right? And I say this in the Alliance all the time when we're on calls and in behaviorally, that like, we don't choose to self-sabotage. We accidentally behave our way away from it. And what I see is a very sneaky way to make people not value their time and what's important by always having convenience and also creating constant distractions for people to consume and have access to. Because I was thinking about last night, like I had a text at like 7:30. I'm like, I ain't responding to this. I'm like, I miss having a house phone. Because after dinner, I wasn't picking that up. And if you faxed me something, I'd see it the next morning. But that time was the space where like all the magic happened, where like I'd spend time eating my food or having meals with family or even taking the time to understand it, not being a byproduct of this convincing me that like I have no time. Because like every ounce that I see is just constantly convincing people they have no time, they have no time. And then this convenience thing pops up as the magical solution. And I was like, yeah, but go look at the media. The media is the thing convincing you that you have no time. And then the byproduct is, here's all the things to buy your time back to then go consume more things that we want you to consume to condition and do it. And so I agree with you on all fronts. And I also have this like really interesting perspective too. And I get asked this all the time because people are like, well, what do I do? Like, I live in this country, like I have blank, like, what do you recommend that people start with? Like when it comes to like even understanding the importance of their health, right? Like I watch you talk about like the food you eat, like going outside, like taking care of your body and all the other modalities. But if you can't outrun your fork, and I also know that the fork didn't make me fat, right? And I have that same time and that constriction. And you see this at a level that is insane to me, because you see it in the hospital, you're an MD, you're a functional medicine practitioner, you see clients of all ranges and all spectrums and all these broad places. And I feel like when it comes to our health, it's a depleting asset. Like those choices that we made years ago, we might prevent them and we might stop them and we might pull the nail out of the fence, but that hole is still there and we might be able to repair it, but it's never repaired back to the same strength that it was before. And so how do you even recommend that people, like, what are the things that people should be focusing on in underneath those lenses of like, no one's got your back, you're going to have to do this yourself. It really boils down to you advocating, but like, how does somebody even begin?
You know, that's the $1 million question, right? It's you know what it is. I think it is. It's like we've discussed. It's about self-love. You have to cherish and value yourself. You have to, and if you have issues that you don't have this self-love and this the value of yourself, then maybe you got to go out and seek counseling. Cause you know, you said something in your Liz Benny interview about like, oh yeah, you know, it used to be that we just tell someone to go in and throw all the food away out of their kitchen and get on a different diet and change their lives and blammo, everything's new. But it's not, man. It's food is, it's so interconnected with memories. And so, you know, if you had childhood trauma, there is this wonderful study at, I want to say, UCLA, doctor, he's a obesity medicine doctor. He took all these morbidly obese women and put them on a diet, like a healthy diet, and had them all lose a bunch of weight. And then he noticed that after they did that, a few of them, the majority of them, put on put it back on. And he actually would ask some of these women, like, hey, you know, why, what happened? And a lot of times the answer was, well, you know, when I lost all this weight, guys kind of started to hit on me again. and, you know, I was molested or something. I had childhood trauma and I couldn't deal with that anymore. So I put my weight back on. And a lot of what we see today is, you know, it's from trauma. It's from adverse childhood events. And, you know, it's not easy being human. I said that to you earlier. Yep. And, you know, every person has trauma. You know, again, the mid cingulate gyrus or whatever it was.
The mid angulate cingular cortex.
Yeah, the mid angulate cingular cortex is like you, when you don't use that muscle, it goes away. And that's what builds resilience. And, you know, again, you have to do things that you don't want to do. And when you have this adverse childhood events, it makes people not have the resilience. Again, everybody's, as a child, everyone has trauma. Some is way worse. I'm not downplaying anything. Like, no. If you had real bad trauma, please go get counseling. It's that, you know, you changing your diet and trying, you know, joining the gym is not going to help you if you can't break through the internal emotional struggle that's going on in your brain. And so, but again, I guess the answer is it's got to be self-love and self-compassion. You have to love yourself enough to be like, hey, listen, I'm not going to go eat McDonald's and Taco Bell. And I don't know. I mean, dude, if I could write a thesis on that, I could save the world. But
well, I want to reflect it back to you because I actually loved hearing you go through that, because a lot of people, and we maybe have some new listeners. So let me just put it all out there in about 20 seconds. I was sexually abused. I struggled with bulimia for 15 years and I literally have gone up and down 100 pounds 6 times until my 39th year. And it has now been off and will be off forever. And it was genuinely because I never shifted the beliefs below it, right? And I didn't do the things that you're talking about right now, because I feel like what happens when you, I'll take the label of self-love and self-compassion. What I feel like it is, Mike Rubin talked about this on the podcast that we did a couple weeks ago. It's doing, it's having an intellectual integrity conversation, like an actual current state. And when you self-love and you self-compassion, what you get to look at is like, wow, I did make that choice. I did go eat those French fries. I did go do those things. But it's not who you are. They were choices that you made. And the only way to remove the emotion and the fault and the blame and the guilt and the shame is to actually celebrate the fact that you're an athlete and you ran a play and the play didn't get the right goal. But you're like, oh, if I change the play, then I might have a different result next time. And for me, the thing that was missing was that self-love. And without that self-love and the current state in the map, I also couldn't think about who I wanted to be in the future because it felt so far removed because I was so constrained with all the evidence that I had around me, right? And so I think your answer is absolutely incredibly beautiful, because when you can look at the choices we've made or the things that we've done and even reflect and look back at them and then look at them from a lens of like, wow, I got here fully, but I didn't know what I know now. But now I look back and I see that evidence and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Because if I can look at it, I also have the solution for what pieces to change or what to try to create something different. And so that self-love, that self-compassion for me is like doing an inventory of like my life, right? Like, how's my health? How's my food? How's my working out? How's my sleep? How's my energy? How's my water intake? And being like, wow, I used to think I drank a lot of water. And then I realized I only drank like 34 ounces of water a day. And the other 68 ounces were coffee, right? And then Coke Zero mixed in the mix, right? And I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh, God. Oh.
And I know, right? And then I'm running at like, you know, 25,000 steps a day. 2 workouts and like, oh, my diet's here. It's good. But then like emotionally and energetically. And I think the most beautiful thing is like when we can take that inventory anywhere, whether it's our health, our relationships, our mindset, the moment we can take that inventory from a place of neutrality and like remove the emotion from it, we basically have the roadmap of adjustments to be made. But then it's the incremental adjustments and it's the consistent commitment too easy and simple, not hard, not crazy, not go throw out all the stuff in the pantry or be like, I'm never eating McDonald's again, or I'm going to work out for 10 hours a day. No, you're not. You're going to end up never working out again, because now you're going to install more trauma that was self-induced of like, I don't like working out. And I think the ultimate test that it boils down to is that we're also conditioned so many times to be told what it looks like to go to the gym. This is how you have to eat. This is that diet. No. The training is only there if you do X, Y, and Z. But I would say from your side as a doctor, you'd much rather have somebody go outside and walk for 20 minutes a day than avoid going to the gym 8 days in a row because they didn't have an hour, right?
1,000,000%, yeah.
It's that consistency. And so hearing you say that made me feel really, really good, because on my side, I forgot to do all of that. I didn't have any of that, because I would look at him like, oh, George, here we are again. Here we are again, 240 pounds, and you swore you'd never be here again. I'm like, all right, let's fix it. And it was just, I was reacting to both sides of the spectrum, right? All the way up. And I'm like, oh, react, go all the way down. But then I'd get down, and then I'd eventually titrate and slide all the way back up, because my identity didn't change. Like, I didn't believe I deserved to be healthy. I didn't believe that I deserved to feel good in my body.
And that comes from that trauma, you know.
Yep.
You know, I was raped as a child, pre-kindergarten, like, and I've never told anyone that. I've told 4 people in my life, my wife and Bella. Now I'm putting out to the world, you know.
Yeah.
And but you have to have like that, that doesn't, and it's funny. I do a gratitude meditation a lot. And sometimes I have gratitude for that, because it's made me who I am. It didn't ruin my life. Right. Yeah. I was fucked up. Pardon the French again. It was really fucked up.
You know, doesn't everybody want their doctor to talk like this though? Like, come on. Like, we've all waited for it. I'm like, I love this version.
You know, my parents don't even know this. And I've told, like I said, very few people. But you know, hey, it is what it is. And, again, if you have this, if I tell people like this too, like you just said, you know, here you are again at this point and, you know, 240 pounds. And I tell people like, listen, you're not expected to be perfect. We're human. No, but none of us are perfect. Right. Don't beat yourself up. If you're on trying to get healthy and trying to, you know, eat, you know, a paleo or just any diet, doesn't matter what it is. Most diets fail. One of my big sayings is diets fail, lifestyles don't, right? Yes. And that is key. You have to adopt a lifestyle that is keen on health. And that comes from loving yourself and not beating yourself up. But when someone does fall off the wagon on, you know, Oh shit. You know, I went to a party and I ate 2 pieces of chocolate cake and some pizza. Don't beat yourself up. Just go back and do what's right for you tomorrow. Right. And so America has it all backwards. We do. Most Americans eat garbage 90% of the time, and they eat healthy food 10% of the time. And they're like, yay, I ate something healthy. I have a 90-10 rule. I go the other way. You should eat healthy 90% of the time, and then you can eat garbage 10% of the time. I mean, I don't mean garbage. I mean, when I eat garbage, it's like dark chocolate, right? I
mean, you know, you're a better man than me because I crushed some pizza yesterday. But here's the thing. My favorite quote, the quote that everybody remembered from Civilized Caveman days, is when I started telling everybody post bulimia, like, hey, by the way, while I was on a New York Times bestselling book tour, speaking to you, I was purging before I came on stage. Okay. Like, and they're like, and I was like, and I can tell you what I learned. The number one secret for me was recognizing that I was not in a monogamous relationship with food. There was no cheating, only choices.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I even hear it all the time. Like, oh, I cheated. I'm like, no, you didn't. You chose. You right. Chose. And yeah. The moment we say we cheat, we advocate our responsibility and our power into changing it. And it gives us a back door to keep choosing that behavior rather than just being like the other night after the event, bro, I went ham, Papa John's pizza, butter, garlic sauce, boom. And by the way, at the event, the first 3 days I was dialed. I was like, here's my macros. My Icon meals showed up. I was like, boom, 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 boom. And then I was like, eh. And then it was Andy's frozen custard, boom, 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 boom. And then I was like, God, like that felt amazing. And then I was like, I love this. And then the next day I was like, oh, I don't have that much energy today. Holy moly, I'm really emotional. Like, I'm really sad, and I'm not normally sad like this. And I was like, what's going on? And then I was like, oh, I know what's going on. I just replaced the rocket fuel that I've been putting in my tank for 18 months with some sugar in my gas tank, and was like, why aren't you functioning? And then I was like, oh, but this is amazing. Like, I loved it. It tasted good. I had good memories of my friends. We laughed. Mm-hmm. We ate pizza in the kitchen, dipping condiments on each other and having a condiment off on who could make the best concoction. Because this is what entrepreneurs do after 3 days in an event. And then I like think about the fact of like, why would I rob myself of all those memories rather than celebrate them and then be like, cool, here we go. I had to adjust my training. And then one day back in the gym, and I was like, my joints haven't hurt like this in 6 months. Why am I so sore today? What's going on? And then all of a sudden,
I wonder.
without fail, it was just like, I found myself, like, I woke up the next morning, I was like, oh, it's time to do your steps. And I was like, oh, there's my smoothie. Like, there's my supplements. Like, there's my greens. And because it's not a cheat, it's just a choice. And I focus on it so heavily, even if I slip, and I slip for 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it's just a matter of time before, like, even my identity brings me back on track. Because I recognized, and this is to add to more of what you said earlier, and by the way, I want to close a loop for everybody. The mid-angular cingulate cortex. I will include a link in the show notes to this video from Andrew Huberman. It is the actual muscle in your brain that's associated with willpower that creates resiliency, and he talks about how to use it and what to do, and these choices boil into that bucket. So I'll include that. But Robert, when you were talking about the self-love, the self-compassion, and then I explained about the current state, I also recognized that because I was living in that trauma and it was constant reaction, I didn't even ever know like what my goal would be, or like what I wanted my lifestyle to be, or like what that would look like, because I was basically trapped in the pill bottle. And so without that self-love and that self-compassion, I couldn't even pin my map right now and be like, okay, I'm 200 and the heaviest I've ever been. I'm only 5'7", just for the record. No matter what you see on the internet, I'm 5'7 on a good day, but I was 267 pounds,
jeez,
right? Like, I was as wide as I am tall, is what it feels like.
What was that BMI?
Oh, bro, I know my waist was 48 inches.
Yeah, that's a high BMI for sure. That's like in the high 30s, I bet.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm 167 pounds right now, so I'm literally 100 pounds down. But
that's still pretty stout, dude, for 167 pounds at 5'7".
Yeah. I carry
a lot of muscle on you.
I do. Well, that's the benefit. Underneath all that fat and the loose skin that took years to go away and it's gone, was that. But in that lens of like looking at it, it wasn't until 18 months ago that all of this changed. And the only thing that changed is I got hit with that in the midst of the divorce and all this stuff that was happening and navigating. And I really didn't even have the emotional capacity to try to out-train it anymore, because I just kind of surrendered. And I wrote on a piece of paper, Robert, I was like, who do you want to be, or what's your goal in life? And I realized that my whole life, my physical external experience or view was so people would accept me. Oh, look, I'm a Marine. I have a perfect PFT score. Oh, look, I'm a CrossFitter. I made it to regionals. Oh, look, I'm kettlebell guy. I got my certification. Oh, look, I can do this. But not once had I ever been like, what do I want? And all I wrote on that paper, Robert, is I want to be able to do backflips with Branson when I'm 80. That was it. That was it. And everyone's like, what'd you change? I'm like, that. Because when I wrote it, I felt it. And I was like, that's who I am. Like, I just want to be able to play and run and sprint. And I don't ever want my son to be able to beat me in a race. I want to be running with him and my grandkids. And not because I want him to not beat me. Like, I want to have the ability to do that. But when I believed that, like when I actually gave myself the space to believe that and be like, wow, okay, you got a long way to go, bro, but maybe we should stop the roller coaster ride and like just keep this off. And then the only thing I changed is I started walking for 30 minutes a day. That was it. That was the only goal I wrote on paper. It was like every day, non-negotiable. My floor was at least 15 minutes and my ceiling was 30. And it was at least 5 days a week. And that's all I did. And I protected that consistency. And as a byproduct, the rest of my choices started to waterfall down because I was walking. I wanted more energy. So I woke up earlier, drank electrolytes, did my red light. I'm like, cool, I'm going to go for a walk. And then I'd get done. I'm like, God, I just put all that energy in. Like, let me just grab something healthy. And then before I realized it, I was standing on stage and someone's like, dude, I haven't seen you in 6 months. Where'd you go? I'm like, what do you mean? And they're like, dude, you're like 30 pounds heavier or lighter or 40 pounds lighter. I'm like, no. And then I went and bought a scale. And I was like, holy shit, I've lost 40 pounds. And then, you know, it kind of became like rocket fuel. But that took 6 months. And it wasn't because I was trying to lose the weight. Wasn't because I was trying to change my habits. It's like I really genuinely believed that that's who I wanted to be. And I believed it for the first time because I got to look at it from a place of compassion. And that's what shifted everything for me.
Yeah. And that's, that's, you know, what people have to do. One of the things, two things that you mentioned, one is consistency, right?
Yeah.
You have to try to be consistent. It's all about consistency instead of,
intensity.
Totally drawing a blank.
Intensity.
Thank you. Yeah. Intensity. It's about consistency. And I will tell you, one of the things I threatened to myself that I was going to do hard 75 and I didn't start. And then I heard from one of your drops and I was like, I'm glad I didn't because I didn't want to start it and fail.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just going to make me feel worse. Right.
Yep.
So I tell people who are smokers in the hospital or just stop, quit smoking cigarettes. And then if you go back and smoke a couple, quit again. It's about a consistency thing. And then I also wanted to talk about, you'd said that when you eat the pizza, like your joints hurt, you felt terrible. And one of the things I've noticed with a lot of my clients is that, they don't understand how bad they feel until they feel good. Right.
Yes.
And then
yes,
once you start feeling good, you're just like, oh my God, I can't believe how bad I felt for the last 40 years. And then I had to keep this in my brain because you said a lot of great stuff. But the next thing that you just brought up was you want to be healthy to run and play with your child and your grandkids. And that's one of my goals for my clients is I want them ageless vitality. That's kind of my big thing today is I want longevity and ageless vitality. I want my clients to be 75 and be able to go for walks on the beach with their kids and their grandkids to even see their grandkids grow up. This is right now, this is the first generation ever in the history of human civilization that our children are not going to outlive their parents. And yep. That brings me to tears sometimes, dude. Like seriously, are you fucking kidding me? And it's all because of food. It's all because of, I mean, it's not just food. It's our health is multifactorial, right? And to me, I have a moral obligation to change and to get out what I know to people. I got goosebumps right now thinking about
it. I do too.
Like, I mean, it's terrible, dude. Like,
I think people don't face the reality of it because it feels so far out and so far removed. But like, I feel like I can tell you the world that we live in. Just go watch the movie WALL-E, right? Like, it's just WALL-E. Right? Don't move, access to your phone, pieces like this. And I'm like, yeah, like we all talk about how the world's changing. Like, oh, we're so annoyed with the internet. Well, when that all disappears, or if that disappears, there's no life to enjoy when you've been sacrificing yourself in the whole process. And you said something that I want to call out. So number one, that tickled beyond belief when you said you don't understand how bad you feel until you feel good. And here's the thing. Numerous times in my life, I had a six pack. Right. Like, then that's just a random measure of like an easy way for me to explain this, losing the weight. Like, I don't give a crap if I have a six pack or not. Because sometimes my entire bag of Enjoy Life chocolate chips tastes way better than my six pack and I enjoy every bite. Right. And I'm like, cool, celebrate. Here we go. But I had the six pack, but I didn't have the mental health nor the emotional health because it was all a reaction. So even though I looked good on the inside, it didn't feel like me. It felt like this performance or this outfit that I was putting on. And so there were so many levels to feeling deeper than just the physical part, right? Like I remember like when I train now, like when I wake up, like I'm excited to go train. Like I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do handstand pushups today. I'm going to do dips. I'm going to go play with Branson. But back then it was like, oh, like here we go. Like push harder, right? Like you got to be the best. And so when you said that, it really, really tickled. And then you said something about how food isn't the only one. And when we talk about longevity and vitality, like this is what I love so much about you and your brain and the amount of number one experience, but the amount of exposure you have to some of the darkest moments of people's lives, right? Like where you see them in those moments where like their kids are standing next to them and you're like, you're 44 years old, you're 52 years old. Like you're not going to meet your grandkids, right? And so besides food, what are like the other big areas that like really people have been advocating or should focus on?
You kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, way back at the beginning of this podcast. It's basically, it's nutrition, including like detox, right? Because we're so toxified with all these plastics and chemicals in our society that we eat and ingest that we got to get rid of those. It's nutrition, movement, stress reduction, sleep. And here's a really big one, relationships. Okay. Those are the five pillars of functional health, right? And those are kind of what I focus on. And when I say relationships, I mean a relationship with yourself. And that goes back to self-love. You have to value. I mean, we are so lucky that we have this. There's like a 1 in 400 billion chance that any one of us is ever born. Just through the stars, through the fact that your ancestors, they met each other and they just procreated. And just the fact that your mom and dad met that and then he inseminated her and that one sperm. I mean, there's literally, it's like a 400 billion chance that any one of you out there watching this is actually in existence. You have to like really appreciate and be grateful that, oh my God. Yeah. Life's a bitch. Life's hard. It's really hard for people and it's harder for some people, but the relationships part is really overlooked. And this whole pandemic thing, oh, social isolation, social distancing, that was the worst thing you could ever recommend to people. Mm-hmm. There's studies out there that show people who are isolated die sooner. People who are isolated have worse outcomes with disease. And they're telling everybody to go home and sit in your house. I mean, for God's sakes, they put sand in skateboard parks in California. They arrested people for walking on the beach. Again, not a tinfoil hat. These are facts.
How about just to add one before you continue? I lived in Mammoth in my mountain house. I was outside hiking alone at 9,000 feet. And I had a park ranger come find me on the trail because he saw me leave my car without a mask on and tried to find me for being outside in nature without a mask on.
See, that person, again.
We moved 2 weeks later.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. That is, yep. I feel sorry for that person. I really do. and I'm trying to overcome. I had the cosmic communication talk with Aline yesterday or the other day. Yep. And she kind of pointed out, like, she asked me, like, how do I feel when I'm knee deep in these systems that I don't like, you know, big PHRMA and big medicine and insurance and big food. And I said, you know, it emotes anger and sadness to me. And she's like, dude, you gotta get past that. You gotta come from a place of joy, happiness, and love because of the, I forget which book it's all about. It talks about emotions and what vibrational energy you're actually vibrating at. And yep. Anger and sadness are negative. And she's like, you got to get to the positive ones. And so again, and that's relationships too. And you know, I'm not, I didn't used to be, I kind of am like, there's a lot of woo-woo. There's a lot of energy medicine out there and it's real. I mean, like even just writing something down and throwing it in a fireplace or you can manifest things with energy. It's energy, energy, energy. Right. And so.
Bro, have you ever seen, and I would actually love your take on this for everybody listening, but regardless, there's multiple books on it, but have you ever looked at the studies of when they put water under a microscope and speak affirmations to it and negative language, how it restructures yes. the water molecule?
Yes.
This is the most beautiful part. No matter what language, anytime you resonantly play thank you or I love you in any language, it restructures all the water to look the same as like the most complete. And then literally destructive language changes the water structure like all the way down. And then I had somebody look at me because this came up like a week ago and they were talking to somebody else about it. And they're like, and here's the craziest part. How much of your body is made up of water?
A lot. 97%.
How many thoughts on the inside of your head are destructuring the water molecules in your body just because of how you speak to yourself up here?
Yeah. I mean, Bruce Lee says, don't speak negatively of yourself because your body can't tell the difference.
Yep. Right? I love when he said that. And like when you read those books and you look at them and I'm like, no, science book, science book, science book, science book. Right. And there's so many correlations, but I think too, because I was going to ask you, like, you talk about these relationships and this vitality and boom. And I feel like so many times it feels so overwhelming when to start, but it also feels so simple if we practice that, like gratitude and choosing better emotions and the empowering view of the situation, right? Like I look at it now and I say this to you guys and I say perspective's the difference between your prison and your power. But like I look at it now and I was like, God, it was amazing at the beginning of the year when I got really clear last year on what I wanted. I looked at like, wow, how did I get here? I'm like, oh my God, I'm not sleeping. I have really bad habits, right? Like I'm eating like crap. I was under eating. I was eating like 1200 calories a day and my body was putting on weight because of stress and fight or flight and elevated cortisol. But because I was able to look at it from a place of a positive emotion, I was like, well, thanks for the roadmap. This is a gift. Like I have a path out of all of this when I flip those things. And so with all of this and like hearing all of this and I'm all in, and I think the two most neglected ones that I think aren't talked about enough, because we go to movement, we go to nutrition, we go to sleep, right? Like those are the common ones, right? But stress reduction is the one that allows you to go from fight or flight to rest and digest, or you know, sympathetic to parasympathetic, to even be able to be clear and non-reactive to make those choices. And relationships are the ones that help you do that. And so, you know, when people are hearing this and talking about this, like, what are some like tangible ways? Because like what I love about you is like, I know I don't even have to be in the hospital with you to hear your conversations with clients because you advocate for them and you speak from the heart, right? And so like, what are some of the things that like you recommend to people or you see to people? Because I agree with all of these, but I was missing hows for so long because it just didn't, I didn't understand. It's not something that's taught or it's there. So like, what are some things that people can like tangibly do or start to bring in for their life?
Yeah. Turn off social media.
Yep.
I mean, I hate to say it, but that's, I mean, or limit yourself to a very small number of days or hours. I actually put on my phone a social media timer and a limit. And when I hit 1 hour, it's off and I don't go back on. And it's amazing. It's really, really helped. Another thing is to go outside. Actually, being outside, getting sunshine on your body is one of the greatest stress reduction modalities of all time. In fact, in Japan, they call it forest gazing. And they've done studies on that that show that can actually reduce stress and improve longevity and health. Another thing that I'm really, really huge on is meditation. When I say meditate, you don't have to sit cross-legged with your fingers in the Om position and yada, yada, yada. I've actually, again, on my phone, I set an alarm. So I've picked a random time, 8:39 a.m. every morning. And it goes off, and no matter what I'm doing, even when I'm in the hospital, I will tell the residents or wherever, excuse me, give me 1 minute. And I walk around and I take 1 minute, close my eyes and do a gratitude meditation. I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful for this job I have. I'm grateful for my friends, my love, my life, blah, 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 blah. 1 minute, that's it, right? All it does is help ground you back to what you need to do. But I'm also really into the longer meditations. I've been doing walking meditations outside. I was in Montana and I found this wonderful forest. I only saw one person out there. I was out there for like a combined total of like 8 or 10 hours. I only saw one other person out there the whole time I was out there. And Joe Dispenza walking meditation is absolutely fan-freaking-tastic. There's a, you know, Joe Dispenza is unbelievable. If your guests have never been on to his side or looked at him or done any of his meditations or gone to his week long. I highly recommend it. He is actually, someone sent me an amazing video of him talking about, and he talks about this in his week long retreats, about how they're proving now with science that people who meditate, they get 1,500, 1,800, 2,000, 2,500 people in a room, and they do before and after testing. And they're proving that with blood tests, that meditation, all of these people can start producing more anti or positive immunity chemicals and other happiness chemicals in their blood. There was a study, I want to say it was from a Grand Rounds in the Mayo Clinic many years ago, that doing something like Tai Chi actually can elongate your telomeres and also actually increases specific gene production, right? So, and this is all science back now. It used to be total woo-woo, but now with all of our amazing science that we've learned, we are finding that these are evidence-based modalities to improve your life, decrease stress, and make you more resilient. You know, another thing, here's a big thing. Don't eat shitty food. Like you said earlier, when you eat bad food, it stresses your body out. When you eat highly processed foods, it's full of sugar, salt, and really bad fats. Seed oils are absolutely toxic. It's funny because there's a couple of influencers out there like, oh, seed oils aren't bad for you. Bullshit, man. They wreak havoc on your mitochondria. They wreak havoc on your hormones. They're really, really bad. And for those of you who don't know what a seed oil is, it's if you pick up anything in the store and it says vegetable oil, put it down immediately and move on. Corn oil, soy oil, sunflower seed oil, cotton seed oil, they're all absolutely toxic. And I highly recommend not doing that. But also there's been studies out there that show that when you eat certain foods, it changes your hormones. It makes you angry. There was a Stanford study that they fed prisoners healthy foods, and I believe they got rid of all food dye as well, and the violence went down in the prison. I guarantee you all of your listeners will understand, and when they think about it, next time they eat some shitty food or drink too much soda or something like that, all of a sudden, God, why am I so angry? I've seen it myself. Like, I have eaten something bad, and then like 3 hours later, I'm like, oh, I'm so fucking pissed off. And I'm like, oh, it's because I ate this, this, and that. Duh, don't do that again.
And I wanted, there's a few things you said that I want to hit on for everybody, because when you were talking about the forest bathing, I have a book to recommend for everybody that will teach you about the power of that, but also the how on a lot of this. And it's The Comfort Crisis by Michael Easter. Mm-hmm. Because not only did Japan study this, they built forests inside of the middle of cities and then used it to spread throughout the entire country after it was proven. And then earlier too, like on all these scientific ones, and I forgot, but I saw Tony Robbins, he had shared it. And they've also studied in gratitude, and the gratitude practice that you talk about is the number one and only effective way to get rid of anxiety and depression and to create that current state, that state change that allows it to shift. And I do the same thing. I do it, and then I do one per bead on my necklace, and I go around the whole thing. And just before anybody asks, let me pre-handle it. I don't know what I'm going to say beforehand. I just pick that moment, and I'm like, I'm grateful for my health. I'm grateful that I'm walking right now. I'm grateful that I'm on this podcast with Robert. Like, I'm so grateful that I have this perspective. I'm grateful that there's weather outside. Like, I've gone as far as like, I'm so grateful I can afford the cup of coffee in front of me, because that, it's just, yes.
Even those little tiny things that like we take for granted every day is key. Like, yeah, I mean, I'm grateful, you know, that I have the ability, this education I have, and I can help share information, and I can share my gift with people. My wife said something to me very profound yesterday. Like, I'm in this turmoil of what I'm doing. And she's like, dude, you have a gift that you need to share with more people.
Yep. Yep. Oh, buddy, I have my finger on your volume knob. That's where my finger is as your friend. I'm like, and it's so funny, your shirt is an Enso symbol and it looks like a volume knob. So I just imagined myself turning that one. And then for my own other little thing, just because you dropped telomeres, for everybody, one of the 9 current recognized downfalls of aging, this, I know way too much about things I shouldn't, but there's three more on the docket coming out for 12. But one of the nine that decreases our lifespan is the shortening of our telomeres. Like telomere shortening is what happens. And so all these things that he's talking about, like it's scientifically proven to the point where I have a company with Amy Killen where we talk about this and we make products to help with this, because those pieces are all the pieces that I missed for so long. It was the little moments, Robert, not the big ones, right? It's those gratitude practices. It's like, I'm going to take 5 minutes and go outside. You know what? Right now, I'm just going to go sit still for 10 minutes and allow myself to have that space. And it's reconditioning of a muscle. And the more you flex it, the more neural pathways and neuroplasticity is rebuilt, but also the more evidence is installed into your subconscious with what's called episodic memory. So then when you're met with these moments, instead of having to think about it, it becomes your new default. But it has to be almost like installed in every single day as many times as possible in practice to be able to get there and continue. And so I absolutely love this. And the screen time too, man, like on the iPhone, on the iPad, like just do yourself a favor. Like if you're genuinely watching this, like, and listening to this, and I mean this with all love, because the number one thing that I was met with, and I made this up for myself, it's like, I don't have time, right? There's no time. There's no time. And then I opened up that lovely screen time app on my phone and the truth hit me straight in the face. And I'm like, well, I guess that 7 hours I was looking up for inspiration on YouTube today, I probably could have gone for a 20-minute walk, right? Or prepped some food or like gone to bed earlier, right? But for me, it's not about being upset about it. It's about being excited about it, because it's just opportunity. It's just opportunity to make micro adjustments over and over and over to be able to achieve these things that we want. And I love your principles. Like for me, everyone gets jealous when we go out to dinner because they're like, dude, you eat whatever you want. I'm like, dude, 90-20. My macros are dialed now. I even build these things in. I hit my protein every day, and then whatever's left, I fill in. And I'm like, I can have chocolate cake occasionally. I can do this, and I feel good. But it also gives me enough evidence, like, God, this is good. And then I'm like, huh, I don't really want it again. Like, I kind of want to feel like an F1 car. Yep. And now that I know how good I feel and how good I can feel, within a matter of days, my body is like, hey, you might want to look in the mirror for a minute and make an adjustment. Like something's off, right? Like something doesn't feel good. But I loved when you hit consistency earlier too. And you know, we're going to start landing this, but you talked about consistency, and I want your perspective on this, because I feel like as a doctor, the only thing that gives you tangible evidence to work with somebody is their consistency, because without it, there's no data to make adjustments, right? Like, oh, I went out for a walk 3 days this week of the 30 that we talked about. And it's like, I feel the same. And it's like, we have to consistently give these seeds a chance, but also to establish a baseline. So we have both sides. Like, does that land for you at all?
Oh, for sure. You have to, like you said, you're not going to change, you know, okay, let's say you're 45, 50, 60 years old. You're not going to change that 60 years old if you go for a walk three times in a month, you know? You're not going to change your cholesterol. Don't even get me started on the whole cholesterol farce.
No, that's a whole other podcast, because we would be here for hours, because I'm in that one with you.
Yeah, and we'd probably get shut down because...
We would. We would. You mean like the number one prescribed medication that's never worked, but yet everybody goes on it and the numbers are way off, and S-T-A-T-I-N.
Oh my... Dude, and there's a thing that I was teaching the residents. I was like, okay, tell me there's number needed to treat for this drug versus the number needed to harm. The number needed. Yeah. Okay. I'll explain real quick, cause I know we got to wind this up, cause I know you got a heart out, which you've missed already. the number
it's
needed.
You. I literally have 7 minutes.
Okay. The number needed to treat is a calculated number of how many people you need to take this medication to.
Yeah, man. And speaking about the hard stop, and just so everybody knows, I would do this podcast all day, but the one thing that gets me to pause my containers is relationships, especially the one with my son. And so we're going to wrap in a second so I can go pick him up, because he's going on spring break and mommy's leaving the country. And I feel like if Robert and I start unpacking the weeds of every medical thing ever, we're going to end up on a show that nobody watches, that nobody can see, and it'll be 8 hours long. And so we're going to keep it at the high level and we'll save those for behind the scenes. And so with all that, I want to ask you one question to kind of land this plane, because I feel like also one of the things that I love and respect about you so much is I feel like you speak out of one side of your mouth. You live like you teach. you genuinely live this, you embody this. And so what are like some of your like daily non-negotiables when it comes to like longevity and optimization that like really, really move the needle for you, even in those buckets of like the five buckets, like, but what are some of the like tangible ways that you like live this way?
The first one is basically self-love, like, and like we talked about, trying to eat well. Again, it's the 90-10 rule. And I really want to go back and say thank you for helping me reframe the cheating versus the choice. And that is so awesome because it's not cheating, it's a choice. And you make that choice. If you don't, using the word choice instead of cheating takes away the victimhood. It makes you the driver of that bus. And so you have that choice and it gives you so much more self-power and, you know, deep power. And that's really important. The non-negotiables to me, again, is that self-love. You have to treat this body like it is a Ferrari, because the human body is absolutely genius. It's the most genius thing in the history of the universe that we know of so far, right? But, and then also like exercise, like I don't get out and do as much as I used to because I'm just busy and sometimes my priorities are different. But like, I'm going to go train jujitsu tonight. You got to train. You got to do hard shit. That's another thing. Challenge yourself on a daily basis. Challenge, challenge, challenge. And, you know, the obstacle is the way. I love that. And because when you do get through these challenges, when you come out on the other side, you feel better about yourself. And then again, I just try to eat well most of the time. I need to get good sleep. You know, obviously I don't smoke cigarettes, and I actually have cut down on the alcohol. Instead of the hard 75, I actually made a thing, a vow to myself. I don't drink a lot. I drink, but not a lot. I'm not a total booze hound, but like, I like champagne a lot. And, I made a commitment to myself that I'm not going to drink again until I pull in my next $100,000 on my business. And that's a lot easier for me to do than hard 75. And it's probably better for my health.
And more aligned for you and your goals. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and so it actually will motivate me to get through. And, you know, the other non-negotiable is to work on my relationships all the time and tell the people I care about that I love them and try to always like be a better person for them, for me, for myself, but also for them, for the world. So, I mean, I could go on. I've got a bunch, but
I love you, bro. I love you. They're great. They're great. Yeah, man.
Too,
and we'll do another one of these for sure. We'll do one in person. And for everybody listening, I forgot throughout the whole show to tell you where to connect with Robert, but I'm connecting with him everywhere. And I'm just going to say it right now. So empowermentmd.com is his website. And that's the easiest place because his socials are linked up there, but he's a savage on TikTok. He's just crushing the game on TikTok and also on Instagram. And I genuinely mean this. He's a brother. He's accessible. He's available. He loves doing this. He loves helping people. And bro, I know you are just a wealth of knowledge. And I wish I could just hit go and listen for an hour. But, you know, my shadows get in. And I like to talk to my friends and, you know, speak too much a little bit sometimes. And be like, I'm almost like a health person. I can talk about that too.
Oh, don't sell yourself short. You know,
I do. Well, I do. I do. And when it comes to the health, like I've walked through most of these things personally and had to find my way out of the things we talked about at the beginning because I had to advocate for myself and I had to get the metal removed out of my mouth and I had to get all that done and I had to do those pieces. And really, it's now a point where I'm like, yeah, Sadhguru said it best with Mike Tyson. And he's like, we get issued this body and we never take the time to open the owner's manual and we wonder why we can't get it over the finish line. And I'm like, yep. And I was like, that's it. Like no F1 car driver would ever get in a car they were unfamiliar with and try to win the race blind if they had the option to look at it, touch it, make adjustments, test drive it. And our bodies are our vehicles. And sometimes we just have to open the owner's manual. And the easiest way to open the owner's manual is to look at it with self-love, self-compassion. And at the worst, just change your tire instead of slashing the other three, because then you can still run the race. And I think that that's the most important part for me about longevity is constantly being in the pursuit of adjustments and growth for the future, whether small or big, but celebrating every piece that got me here. Oh my God, I feel like crap. Amazing. I'd like to feel better. Let's do this. Let's do this. Let's do this. And so read the owner's manual. Take the time to dive in. Love the fact that your body is the best messenger that you will ever have. And the only time you lose is if you never read the code for the check engine light that's screaming at you. Because eventually when you push all those things down, the engine seizes and it's too late. And time is the one thing we're never getting back. And so it's a depleting asset, and you can earn a whole lot more of it back and build it back from now on. But every day you wait is another day that that bank depletes. And today is the day to go for a walk, to have a gratitude practice, to focus on your health, to change one meal, to change one behavior, and just try it on for size and give it a chance to win. Keep planting, keep watering, keep seeding. And if you need anything, you know how to get a hold of me, and you sure know how to get a hold of Robert now. It's Empowerment MD, and this show is going to be listed with show notes galore. And so there are plenty of places in there, and we'll have Robert back again. And so Robert, from the bottom of my heart, brother, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. I really appreciate it. And I love you. I love what you're doing. And thank you. You've really, really helped shine a light for me, being the lighthouse that you are.
Oh, bro, don't worry. My finger's on that volume knob of yours. It's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. Awesome. And so for everybody listening, I love you. We love you. This has been another episode of the Crazy Ass Mind of George Show, which I still believe belongs in a straitjacket. So I only share the safest parts with you and my friends. And so we'll either see you in the next episode, or you'll hear me in your earballs. But either way, we're out.